When we think of policing, we don't always think about psychology. One's academic, the other relentlessly real world. But many police departments, including San Francisco's, assign patrols based on a psychological theory, the broken windows theory. Essentially, it says signs of urban decay encourage criminal behavior. The theory was developed in the early 1980s by social scientists who argued that the way to address urban crime was to increase foot patrols and reduce signs of blight, things like broken windows. The theory is perhaps most famously used in New York City, which in the mid-1990s increased its number of beat cops and adopted a zero-tolerance policy on crime. Both former Mayor Rudolph Giuliani and Police Commissioner William Bratton backed the broken windows theory.
It is the basic tool of American policing. Every police department in America does it, always has done it, and always will do it.
Bratton was recently hired as a consultant for the Oakland Police Department. But here in San Francisco, his approach has been slower to catch on. In 2010, voters rejected a ballot measure that would have required the police department to put more cops on the street. Today, though, the SFPD is relying heavily on the broken windows theory to determine how they police high-crime neighborhoods like Bayview Hunters Point. KALW's Leela Day has the story.
At the corner of 3rd Street and Palou, people are sitting on benches in the plaza near a bus stop, laughing, smoking cigarettes, and playing dominoes. It could be a gathering anywhere except for the people standing in front of them. 7 policemen, one on a bike, others on foot, a couple of them leaning against a parked patrol car, just talking to each other. Sharif Maxi locks his car. He's here running an errand. I ask him what he thinks about so many cops being around. He shrugs.
I'm kind of conflicted with it. Some days it's good to have them around, and some days it's like, we outside, but we in jail. You know what I'm saying? Everything being monitored and watched upon us. And, you know, even though majority of us not committing any crimes, but it's still the pressure of having them as in police, having them behind you.
It's not just that they're hanging around, Maxi says. They're getting in his face. A few days ago, he pulled up into a housing development to visit his daughter.
I guess the narcotic division, the narc jumped out on me, ran up on my vehicle, gun drawn, weapon, and a badge hanging out, saying, freeze. I mean, like, you know, I'm freezing for. You know what I mean?
He wasn't doing anything illegal, he says, even though he tells me he does have a criminal record. The police told him to stay out of trouble and pulled off. Maxie's trying to be a better example for his daughter, and he wants her to grow up in a safe neighborhood. So even if it compromises his rights, he gets it.
But I do appreciate the police, though. You know, they do come through, help us out.
A few blocks from the plaza is the Bayview Hunters Point Police Station. Patrol cars line the entrance of the building. Sitting at his desk is
Captain Robert O'Sullivan, and I'm the commanding officer here at Bayview Station.
O'Sullivan's district has the highest amount of crime in San Francisco, and it's getting worse. Robberies and shootings are up 16%, arrests up 31%, and firearm arrests are up at least 50% since this time last year. I ask him about the broken windows theory, something he's been thinking a lot about lately.
You know, a theory is a theory. To me, it's common sense. I think that when problems are small, you address them. And it's important to stay on top of things. It's important not to let things spiral out of control.
He gives me an example. A story about an abandoned, rundown building he was recently called to.
And what had occurred was there were 2 inebriated subjects, homeless individuals, that were squatting on the property. One got upset with the other, and he broke a bottle and ended up stabbing another individual with a piece of, you know, a glass shard from that bottle. Had that property not been available to those individuals, officers would not have to have responded and found this individual bleeding on the sidewalk out in front. For me, it's just common sense. That was an abandoned property. It was left untended. What became one broken window became that the door came down. It then became a house, two structures on the property, 3 structures on the property that were literally filled with trash.
So, he says, it needs to be fixed before other buildings become magnets as well.
One broken window becomes 2, which becomes 4, which becomes 8.
The broken window theory dates back to a scientific experiment done in 1969. Stanford professor Philip Zimbardo took 2 cars and put them in 2 very different neighborhoods. One in the Bronx, in a rundown neighborhood near NYU. The other in an affluent neighborhood in Palo Alto, near Stanford. The cars were left with their hoods open. Within 3 days, the car in the Bronx was stripped to a skeleton. The Palo Alto car sat untouched for days. Someone even closed the hood when it was raining. Zimbardo pushed the experiment even further. He took a sledgehammer to the Palo Alto car to see how people would react. Strangers joined in almost immediately, and the car was eventually destroyed by vandals.
Police tactics 101. You always gotta have your window cracked.
I'm riding in an unmarked police car with Sergeant Dean Hall. Hall has a buzzed haircut, likes his caffeine, and smokes whenever he gets a chance.
But I see in developments when there's redevelopment or landscaping or graffiti is covered, I think it does speak to the pride of the residents and they feel better about where they live.
Hall oversees 4 housing authority properties on the southeast side of San Francisco, stretching from Petrero Hill to Bayview Hunters Point. We're headed for one of them as we sip coffee from a boutique cafe and talk about broken windows.
So I think that there's some validity to that theory, for sure. And I think it's common sense. It's not some grandiose idea, man. Keep your stuff clean, have pride in where you live, know your neighbors, be involved. If something gets broken, fix it.
We drive through the winding streets to Potrero Terrace, one of the oldest public housing developments in the city. We're only a few blocks away from the coffee shop, but it feels like we're in another country. The apartments look like giant stacked shoeboxes. Some apartment windows are boarded up. The paint outside is cracked and chipped. This neighborhood has a lot of gang activity, but everything looks calm right now. We continue on toward the Hunter's View housing development. The 22-acre complex overlooking the city looks a lot different.
But look at the view. They're going to be a new street that goes straight down. So there's significant improvements here. Streets, utilities, lighting, all these things, new landscaping.
A $480 million revitalization project is replacing the rundown apartments with new units. The neighborhood will soon include parks and computer centers, along with retail space.
This is the first phase of new buildings on the right. And eventually, all of these are going to be torn down, and this is going to be the new format. It's something different. It's an improvement.
Hall says he's hoping that there will be less crime when the newer units are built. But it's kind of like painting over an old building, not fixing the infrastructure, and then presenting it as a new house. In the long run, that doesn't work. A criminology study published in 2010 out of Cornell University found that changing the facade of low-income housing doesn't necessarily have any effect on crime in a neighborhood.
170 Dejaro, what'd you guys get?
Hall gets a call from another unit. A car is parked on the sidewalk close by, something out of place.
This might be more than a parking issue, so we're about to find out.
We drive over and pull up near another patrol car. 2 officers are questioning a man who keeps smiling at them. He doesn't give his real name. They check his ID. Turns out he's on searchable probation. So they handcuff him and search the car.
So there was a gun in that car, in that Mercedes. So he's being not forthcoming with his name, and now we know why.
Passing cars slow down to see what's going on. People peek out of their windows. Hall comes back and tells me what's happening.
Oi. So this guy's on probation for property crimes, and
turns out the car is parked in front of the house where the man is staying. 5 more patrol cars pull up. 2 officers go inside to search his room. 1 comes out carrying manila folders overflowing with paper.
In his room, there's a lot of financial information on numerous people, which leads me to believe that there's some type of identity theft or property crime going on, and he's on probation for that. He has a significant amount of cash on him, probably several thousand dollars in his pocket.
The potential charges mount.
Looks like we have a felon in possession of a firearm, an investigation related to financial crimes or identity theft, and it all started with officers approaching a man that was sitting in a car on the sidewalk.
It's the broken windows theory in action. Something was out of place. But here in Bayview, what's detective work for some is profiling for others. The sun is setting. Sergeant Hall and I drive slowly down the street. We pass Candlestick Park and then make a U-turn to revisit all of the housing developments once more. At Potrero Terrace, we pass by some little boys climbing on rocks from a wall that's crumbled to the ground. They're playing with sticks. Hall gives them a little nod and a smile, and they wave at him. Some of them hold sticks up like make-believe guns and shoot them into the air. We drive through the Alice Griffith Project. Hall points to a small gray apartment. It looks empty, with trash and broken toys in the yard. He says that apartment was recently shot at. The owner is now in one of the new housing units.
I think it's common sense. If it's newer and it's fresher and there's more landscaping, it's broken window stuff, you're like, hey, this is nice. I want to take care of this. And we would hope that, and that's what we want, right? Everybody wants that. Cops, right. Residents, citizens, everybody.
Some argue that the broken windows theory does just that. It assumes that we all want the same sort of environment, where order reigns. Graffiti is painted over, abandoned houses torn down. And to some extent, anyway, it works, though it might take away freedoms from some. What the theory doesn't do is consider why the windows are broken in the first place. In Bayview, Hunters Point, I'm Leela Day for Cross Currents.